Please open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah chapter 55, your Scofield Bible, page 761. We'll read the first seven verses of this chapter. We'll read the verses responsively. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 7, page 761. And let's stand for the reading of this passage. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let's read together also the seventh verse. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for this evening. We've heard much for which we have cause to rejoice, and we do rejoice. Thank you for that which we've experienced here today. Thank you for that which is going on across the country by preachers who've been influenced by our church, our school. Thank you for the great harvest of souls. And thank you that we've got something yet tonight for which we can look forward, and we pray that you'd bless in the service, very especially bless our preacher, meet his needs tonight, and help that thou would speak to our hearts through him, and of course give us attention to every word of the sermon. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. And I want to give you tonight a wonderful, wonderful truth in the Bible. I've gotten it. My mind was brought to it during our recent Sunday school lessons as we've been going through the prophets. In fact, we're going through the entire Bible, but recently we finished the prophets. We're now next week in the book of 1 Corinthians. But for many weeks we studied, starting with Isaiah and then Jeremiah and Ezekiel and on. We studied the books of the Bible, and we went down through the major prophets and minor prophets. There's something that I called just briefly one morning to the attention of my class that I want to dwell on tonight for 3 or 4 hours as I talk to you on this subject before Brother Jeff Owens leads us in our closing prayer. May I just give this word of preface before I preach? We mention so often that little 70-year period called the Babylonian captivity. I do not know any other part of the Bible that's only 70 years in duration that is mentioned as often from this pulpit, because most or much of the Old Testament evolves around that little 70-year period. Starting with the book of Ezra, going on to Nehemiah and Esther, and then jumping over to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Lamentations and Ezekiel, and on to Daniel and Hosea and all the minor prophets. All of those evolve around one little period in the life of Israel called the Babylonian captivity. It was a time when God had judged his people and took them out of the land of Canaan for 70 years and sent them to Babylon, And they were there for 70 years of punishment because of their rejection of God and their unwillingness to serve Him and obey Him. That little 70-year period. So tonight, I'm going to build this message around that little 70-year period and speak to you on the subject, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. Our Heavenly Father, this to me is one of the most beautiful pictures of Your love and Your mercy and Your grace that I know anything about. Tonight, I'd like to exalt You and Your love, and I'd like for us to revel in that love. Bless the message tonight. Bless this simple preacher and these dear ones who hear. Amen. In the Babylonian captivity and its discussion, it is so easy to see the wrath of God. It is so easy to be reminded of the fact that God lost His patience with His people and allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come from the Babylonian Empire and literally play havoc with the city of Jerusalem. The temple was totally destroyed. The walls around the city were totally leveled. Practically every house, if not every house in the city, was destroyed. Famine came. It was so bad that women would cook their own children and eat them. There's no way to describe. In fact, if I read just a portion of the Bible that described this captivity time, it'd almost make your stomach sick just to hear it read in your presence. So because of that, we are so prone to associate the Babylonian captivity with the wrath of God. And I must hasten to say that God is a God who has wrath. You know, the Bible says God is slow to anger. It doesn't say He never angers. He says He's slow to anger. God does get angry. If you don't believe that, you read the first chapter of Nahum sometime. And you read about our vengeful God who will take vengeance on... But that's so easy for us to see the wrath of God. However, in this story of the Babylonian captivity, there's far more to see about the love and compassion of God than about His wrath. Let me say tonight, before I go any further, something I say so often here. Our God is a wonderful God. We have a wonderful, wonderful God. Now, no place in all the Bible shows the wonder of our God, the compassion and long-suffering and love of our God anymore, or perhaps as well, as does this little period in the Bible, the 70-year period of captivity. Almost, if not all, of the prophets, almost all of them, skirt the circumference of that one little 70-year period in the Bible. God had to punish the nation Israel. God loved Israel. He did not want to punish her, but He had to. And nothing shows that anymore than the fact that He waited and waited and waited and waited. Time and time again, He sent prophet after prophet after prophet to His people, hoping that somehow Israel would turn to Himself and He would be able to avoid His wrath being poured out upon His people. Now, follow me carefully as I give line upon line, precept upon precept. First, God pleads with His nation, the entire nation Israel. He sends Isaiah to plead with the entire nation. He sends the prophet Jeremiah to plead with the entire nation. And oh, how He loved Israel, sending prophet after prophet. He tried everything within His power to get Israel to turn to Himself before He poured out His wrath. He sent prosperity, and yet Amos said, the Lord said through Amos, that neither hast thou returned unto me, saith the Lord. He sent famine, and Israel still did not return unto the Lord. He sent health, and she still did not return unto the Lord. So He sent disease, and she still did not return unto the Lord. So He sent peace, and she still did not return unto the Lord. So He allowed warfare to come and sent war. So Israel still did not return unto the Lord. Everything that God had within His disposal was used to try to bring Israel to Himself because He loved Israel. No place in the Bible shows that any better than the book of Hosea. In the fourth chapter of Hosea, it says God says something like this concerning Ephraim, fourth chapter. He said, Ephraim, and Ephraim, by the way, in this case, represents all of Israel. Quite often, God would use Ephraim as a symbol of the entire nation. And God got so upset with Ephraim, he said, Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone! But a few chapters later, I think it's chapter 11, God said, how shall I give thee up, O Ephraim? How shall I give thee up? And so God says to Israel, I've got to punish you, but I don't want to punish you. I love you. And may I say tonight that God, the affection of God today is upon the United States of America like it was upon Israel in that day. Don't you forget this. God loves this nation. Now, why does God love this nation so much? I'll tell you why. Because most of the missionaries that go around the world come to the United States of America. I mean, most of the Bibles that are printed in the United States of America. Most of the great churches being built, I'm not talking about charismatic mess, I'm talking about Bible churches, are being built in America. I'm saying that God loves America. And God comes tonight to America and says, I don't want to destroy you, but I will. And God said, but first I'm going to send you an earthquake in San Francisco. And if that won't work, then I'll bless you. If that won't work, then I'll place a curse upon you. If that won't work, I'll send a world war on you. If that won't work, I'll send the disease of AIDS on you. If that won't work, I'll try this and I'll try that. Now, why has God sent the plague of AIDS on this homosexual nation of ours? Because God loves us. And God wants the homosexual crowd to turn to himself and get right with God. And God is using every way in the world he can to get America to come to God. But God will not force us to come. God wants us to come on our own volition, on our own choosing. God wants us to decide and to choose to come to himself. And so God comes tonight and says, America, I love you. Seek ye the Lord when they be found. Call upon him while he's near. I love you, says God. I want America to come back to God. But now let's go back to Israel. Israel did not come back to God. But God was not through yet because God loves you and me. And God loved the Israelites individually. So, after God pled with the entire nation, and the entire nation would not come to God, then God turns and pleads with part of that nation, asking part of that nation to come to God. For example, as I said a while ago, he sent Hosea to prophesy to a part of Israel. He sent Joel to prophesy to the northern kingdom to say, okay, if the southern kingdom won't turn to me, the northern kingdom, you can turn to me, and I'll forgive your sins and heal your land. He sent Amos to the two tribes of the southern kingdom and said, okay, if the northern kingdom won't turn to God, God said through Amos, let the two tribes in the south turn to God, and I'll forgive your sins. He sends Obadiah to Edom and says, if Israel won't turn to me, okay, you turn to me. He sends Micah to Samaria and says, okay, if my nation won't turn to me, this half-breed Samaritan nation, God said, I'll forgive you. He sends Zephaniah to Judah and said, okay, if Israel won't return to me, the northern kingdom, he said to Judah, I'll forgive you. I want to tell you something tonight. Bless God, if America won't turn to God, I'll guarantee you Chicago can still turn to God, and this great Chicago area can still turn to God. That's what God is saying. God is saying, just because all of my nation won't return, I want all of my nation to return. I want all of Israel to return. But, he said, if Israel won't, Judah, you come on by yourself. Or Israel, you come on by yourself. Or 10 tribes, come on by yourself. Or 2 tribes, come on by yourself. Or Edom, come on by yourself. Or Samaria, come on by yourself. Or Ephraim, come on by yourself. Let me tell you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen. This Chicago area can be reached. I don't care if San Francisco goes to hell. I don't care if New York City goes to the devil. I don't care if the whole nation becomes a melting pot of sexual sin. I don't care what happens. I believe with all of my soul, God can reach an area, even of a country, that will not turn to himself. And by the grace of God, I'm giving much of my life to try to do what we can to reach this great Chicago area. So God comes tonight and says to America, America, turn to me. Turn to me. And America says to God, we'll plunge our way toward baby killing and murder unborn babies. And then we'll drink ourselves to death and have rivers of liquor flowing through our country. Then we'll sell cancer and advertise cancer products like tobacco. In fact, we'll even work in tobacco plants and raise tobacco on our farms. And we'll be a bunch of queers, now homosexuals living unnatural lifestyle. And God said, okay, I can do nothing but punish you. And let me remind you, God's patience does wear out. For 490 years, God did not punish Israel at this time, but after 490 years, He did punish Israel, and God is going to punish America. We're not going to get by with our Supreme Court taking the Bible out of our school system. We're not going to get by with prayer being stolen from our public school system. We're not going to get by with all 1 million or 2 million babies being slaughtered every year. We're not going to get by with the dope traffic. We're not going to get by with the humanism. We're not going to get by with the godless public school system. We're not going to get by with the homosexual crowd running wild. We're not going to get by with it. God's going to... We're not going to get by with the Hollywood crowd. We're not going to get by as long as you were watching the dirty television primetime programs and the dirty soap operas and your little movies you bring to your house and show them on your own little movie screen, make a movie, a harlot screen out of your own house. America's not going to get by with it. God came to one time through Amos and He said, I've tried to get you through famine. That didn't work. I've tried to get you through plenty. That didn't work. I've tried to get you through war. That didn't work. I've tried to get you through peace. That didn't work. I've tried to get you through love. That didn't work. I've tried to get you through wrath. That didn't work. And He said, okay, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And as sure as God be God, we're not going to get by with this. We're not. Listen, that little opening of the ground out yonder in San Francisco, that's just playthings. What God's going to do with this nation? You mark it down. I mean, the AIDS disease, if we find a cure for the AIDS disease, God's got other diseases He can plague America with. But, thanks be to God, if America says, okay, we'll go to hell. If Hollywood says, we'll take her to hell. Thanks be to God, He'll turn to Chicago. Okay, Chicago, I'll save you if you'll turn to me. And boy, I want us to give all we've got to save this area. I believe with all my heart the Chicago area can be reached. A lot of folks don't know this, but if you take the population of the greater Chicago area, and right beside that you put the number of people that have walked the aisle for salvation in this church in the last 30 years, one person out of every 14 in the Chicago area has walked the aisle professing faith in Christ. I'm talking about here at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. She can be reached, and God can reach this whole area. God comes tonight and God says, oh, Chicago, I love you. And if America won't turn to me, the city of Billy Sunday can. The city of Ari Torrey can. The city of Dwight L. Moody can. The city of Paul Rader can. The city of the old famous Moody Church can. The city of the Paul Rader Tabernacle can. The city of First Baptist Church of Hammond can. The city of Hiles Anderson College can. And I believe with all of my soul we ought to give ourselves for the reaching of this area for the Lord Jesus Christ. So God comes to the nation of Israel and says, I want you for myself. And Israel rejects her God. And God said, okay, if the nation won't come, He said, I'll plead with parts of that nation. But when parts of that nation likewise said no, when Ephraim said no, when Edom said no, when Samaria said no, when Judah said no, when Israel said no, God comes back and God says, okay, if the nation Israel won't come to me, and if the sections of Israel won't come to me, God says, okay, I'll try to get the cities to come to me. Don't you see what God's trying to do? God's trying to get individual people to come to Himself. And God said, I want my nation to get right. If that doesn't work, I want areas of that nation to get right. If that doesn't work, I want the cities to get right. And bless God, I believe Hammond, Indiana can be won for Christ, and even though America goes to hell, I believe Hammond, Indiana, the Calumet region, can be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent Jonah to Nineveh. He sent Nahum to Nineveh. If America rejects God, Hammond, Indiana does not have to reject God. I've seen in small cases, I've seen entire cities affected. I was in a little town one day, a place called Cookeville, Texas, preaching a revival meeting. In one 7-day, 6-day period, We had more people saved than lived in that little town. I was in a place one time called Vivian, Louisiana. Actually, I was out in the country from Vivian, Louisiana. And one night, the quarterback of the football team came out to visit with his girlfriend. Quarterback of the football team in Vivian, Louisiana. He got saved. The next night, he brought the entire football squad. I'm talking about 30 or 40 people. He brought the entire football squad. They stood over here as a group. The entire football squad of the Vivian High School got saved that night. They were going back home after the service, and they stopped to get a bite in a restaurant. And they ordered and started to eat. And the captain of that team, the quarterback of that team, who got saved the night before and brought the whole team to get saved that night, he said, "Hey, let's don't eat till we pray. We're Christians now. We're not pagan. We're not a heathen. Let's pray." Those big old football players in that big restaurant bowed their heads, and he said, "Wait a minute. This ain't no way to pray." He said, "Let's kneel to pray." And that whole football team got on their knees and prayed and thanked God for the food. And people in that restaurant that night got saved. And the word spread around the town. You don't understand down in the Southwest. You understand the high school football team in some of these towns, the most popular people in town. They're the heroes in town. And boy, it's like John the Baptist. They, "What come ye out in the wilderness to see?" And the next night, those football players brought their parents and their friends. And that town of Vivian, Louisiana, for several months was turned upside down for God. And I believe with all of my soul, bless God, that Hammond, Indiana, and Munster, and Calumet City, Illinois, and Highland, and Griffith, and Cherville, and Maryville, and Crown Point, and East Chicago can be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God comes and God says, "I want you. I want you. I want the nation." And the nation says, "No, we'll not turn to you." God said, "Okay, I'm not through yet. I want areas of that nation." And areas of that nation said, "No, I'll not turn to God." And God comes and said, "Okay, I want cities in that nation." And brother, if America rejects God, Hammond, Indiana doesn't have to reject God. I want to say something to you. You may think we have more enemies in this area than we do. You'd be surprised if you knew the good reputation the First Baptist Church of Hammond has in this area. This morning while I was teaching my Sunday school class, the mayor of Hammond walked in and sat down over here just in my Sunday school class. You saw him the day when he stood behind this platform and stood behind me as his friend in the battle. Yesterday we had a wedding over here, and the leading law firm in the entire city of Hammond, the whole bevy of lawyers, came to that wedding. And the main lawyer, after whose name the firm is named, came to my office and knocked on my door after the service. And he said, "I've always wanted to meet you, Reverend Hiles." He said, "One time I came to your service," and he said, "I was impressed beyond compare." And he said, "In all my life, I've never seen as beautiful a wedding as I saw just a while ago. And my wife wanted me to tell you the same thing." Now, I'll tell you something. Don't you let a bunch of religious Pharisees who criticize... Listen, though, the city of Hammond has confidence in this church. I mean, the religious, the liberals don't, the ministerial association doesn't, and who wants them to? Who gives a flip for the ministerial association likes us out? Religious Pharisees don't, but I'll guarantee you one, like that lady that called me on the phone. She said, "I'm a Lutheran. My husband's dying. Would you come pray for my husband to get well?" I went over and prayed, and I went over and prayed for him. I said, "Look, why didn't you call your own pastor?" She said, "Because he doesn't specialize in things like that." What she meant was he was a dead duck. What she meant was he was an imposter. She meant was he was a liberal humanist. That's what she meant. But I'll guarantee you those people out there in the city of Hammond, they look at First Baptist Church of Hammond, and I'll guarantee you they love to hire our people because most of our people work hard when they get a job. And they have confidence in this preacher because he pays his debts on time. And because for 30 years I've walked up, and by the way, because they don't ever stop me for speeding. I watch my rearview mirror when I drive. Sure, I'm a nut. I said this morning, the mayor was sitting over here when I said it in my Sunday school class. I don't care if the city of Hammond thinks we're crazy as long as they know we're honest. I don't care if the city of Hammond thinks we're nuts and fanatics. As long as they know we pay our debts and work hard for a living and are good citizens and have character and have integrity, I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, this whole area can be reached for God. God comes along in His mercy and love and says, Israel, for 490 years I begged you to come to me. I sent Isaiah. I sent Jeremiah. I sent the other prophets. Come to me. Israel says, we'll not do it. But God in His love and in His mercy loves us so much. Okay. If I can't get the nation to come, give me a section of the nation. If that section looks to God and says, we're not interested in you, God said, okay, you give me a city. And I'll help that city. I moved to a little town we did in 1952 called Garland, Texas. Garland, Texas at that time was a city of 27,000 people. Now hear me carefully. 27,000 people. The first Sunday I went to that church to preach, we had 44 people in Sunday school. The last Sunday that I preached in that church in 1959, not quite 7 years after I went, the last Sunday, one family out of every seven in the city of Garland went to the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. Anytime you saw seven houses, one of those houses was housing a member of Miller Road Baptist Church. And bless God, I just believe that this area can be reached. And I believe the God who says to America, come to me. America says, we're too busy having homosexual affairs. We're too busy having men marry men and women marry women. We're too busy having men wearing earrings. God pity your sissy little ear. I'd be ashamed of myself if I were you. Wearing an earring. A man. You know, a man doesn't. If you're not a queer, quit dressing like one. And quit wearing your hair like one. And quit wearing earrings like one. And quit talking like one. America says we'll drink our liquor. We'll forget our God. We'll laugh at the Bible. We'll turn our backs upon prayer. We'll say to Jesus Christ, get out of our public school system. Take your book with you, by the way. And take your prayer with you. We don't want, America, you won't get by with that. No, you won't. But our loving God, who has begged America all these years, He comes and says, if America won't come to me, a part of that nation can come to me. He comes to areas like the great Chicago area and says, you come to me. Ah, but our great loving God loves you and me so much. He said, okay, if an area won't come, He said, let a city come. It goes farther than that. If the city won't come, He goes to certain areas of that city. By the way, you folks who haven't been here all these years, you'd be amazed if you knew the different type of area this is from what it was 30 years ago. I'll guarantee you, 30 years ago, when you drove down the street, the only thing you saw in the back of a car was a St. Christopher doll or a hula dancer. Now then you drive down the street, you're just as likely to find a bumper sticker that says Jesus saves, or I love Jesus, or I hate the Pope, or something like that. Did you know that the Calumet region has become one of the fundamental centers of America? Why, do you know that 30 years ago an old-fashioned red-hot fundamentalist preaching like I'm preaching that couldn't draw flies? I remember when I first came here, we started having folks saved, and I started preaching like I'm preaching now, and other churches would get without a pastor. And the pulpit committees would call me and say, Reverend Hiles, would you recommend a pastor to us? Somebody like you. Well, not exactly like you. What they meant was, they had to get a soul winner to survive. Now, we don't want anybody that preaches against shorts and mixed bathing and women wearing pants and all that kind of stuff. But could you get us somebody evangelistic? And one by one, they have called the type men they didn't want to call for survival. And now then, all over this area, you find fundamental churches. Well, you used to have to drive. The nearest place you could find a fundamental church 30 years ago from here was in Waxahachie, Texas. Bless God. Bless God. I mean, it's different. He really is. I mean, El Papa is not as popular in this area as El Jack Hiles. I don't mean popular by everybody loving me. I mean everybody knows who I am. More people know me in this area than know the Pope. I like what J. Frank Norris said. He said 90% of the, somebody said to him, 90% of the people in this town don't like you. J. Frank Norris said, I'm the only man in this town that 90% of the people know. God looks down and God says, I love America and I want America to come to me. He says, if you want, he says, Chicago area still could. And I want you to come to me. Oh, how God loves this area. God has been so good to this area. I was reading today, somebody gave me the life of Billy Sunday, and I got to reading it this morning and almost forgot to go to Sunday school. I was over in my office reading that thing, and I looked down, and good night, I was late for Sunday school. But God gave Billy Sunday to this area. How good he's been. New York City has never had a Billy Sunday. New York City has never had an R.A. Torrey. Los Angeles has never had a Dwight L. Moody. I mean, God's been good to this area. And God loves us. And God said, I want Chicago. But he said, Chicago, if you won't come to me, a city, if that area won't, Hammond, you can. And then he says, if that won't work, he says, areas of that city can. Little pockets of a city. So you live in the ghetto, you can still come to Christ. So you live in the ghetto of the rich, and rich area is just as much a ghetto as the center of Chicago as far as paganism is concerned. God says, I want your area. I remember years ago, I was asked by the football team, of all things, at Howard Payne College down in Brownwood, Texas, Southern Baptist College of all things. Some of the football team were getting my sermons, and they liked me, and I was their hero, and the football team had chapel one day at the college. Well, they asked the president of the college if they could choose the speaker. And he said, well, of course, fellas. Who's going to turn down 11 fellas that weigh 280 pounds? And sure, fellas, choose your own speaker. And boy, when I walked on that platform, I'll tell you what, the president of that college, his teeth fell out. I'll guarantee you for sure. And there I was about to speak. Oh, I can still see him going like this. And that morning, the captain of the football team introduced me, and I spoke on chapel at Howard Payne College, and had never heard anything like that in their lives. And then they were having, that college was having a retreat, like sort of like our high school has a camp. They're having a retreat the next day and the next night, and I went out and spoke to that retreat out in the campgrounds, and a big tabernacle was there. And I spoke that night, and invitation time came. All of a sudden, the pianist quit playing the piano. And I thought, what in the world's gone wrong here? I thought she'd gotten mad. She left the piano and walked way back over here. She put her arms around a girl back there, and they began to cry, and they came down the aisle and got right with each other. All of a sudden, the singer quit singing. And he walked back in the back and put his arm around the fella and apologized and said, I've been your enemy. I want you to forgive me. And they came down the aisle. And when the pianist and the song leader did that, then the whole crowd started doing it. It was mass confusion. The truth is, for about an hour there, I sang the invitation by myself. And that shows the power of God there, brother. If I start singing the invitation, if that doesn't break the spirit, nothing's going to break the spirit. I was up there singing, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. You say, in what key did you sing it? All of them. And revival broke out. I mean, that Howard Payne College was turned upside down. And the school, the split in the school was healed. I'm simply saying, God says, okay. He says, if a nation won't turn to me, he says, a area can. He said, if an area won't turn to me, he said, a city can. He said, if a city won't turn to me, he said, a part of that city can. And God said, I want you. I want you. But now, wait a minute. when an area of a city won't turn to him, then God knocks on the door. And God says, okay, how about the family? Don't you see how much God loves us? God tried to get us to himself through the nation. The nation wouldn't come. And God said, I'm not going to quit. And so God tries to get the area of a nation. And the area says, no. God said, I still want you. I'm not going to quit. And so God comes and says, tries to get the city to turn to him. And the city says, no. God said, I'm not through. I'm not going to quit. I love you. And God says, okay, give me an area of that city. And the area says, no, I'll not turn to God. And God comes and knocks on your door. Let me tell you something. I don't care if every family in America goes to the devil. Yours doesn't have to go to the devil. I don't care if every family in America watches that sorry box until they have a bunch of whores and whoremongers and prostitutes and queers as heroes and heroines on that box. And I'll guarantee you one thing, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing destroying America as much today as the television set. Nothing. Nothing. I don't care if the whole nation goes to hell. I don't care if every family in America goes to the devil. I don't care if every little girl runs around showing her thighs and half her bosom in public. I'll have served notice on you. Your family does not have to turn away from God, and God still wants your family. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You don't despair and say, oh, nothing can be done. Oh, yes, something can be done. God said, okay, I want your family. I want your family. And I hasten to say this. I want to say this especially for this crowd over here. If your family won't turn to God, God says, okay, how about the individual? Don't you see how wonderful our God is? Don't you see how much He loves us? Don't you see how much He loved Israel? He sends prophets to the whole nation. Turn to me! They won't turn. He sends prophets to sections of that nation. Turn to me! They won't turn. He sends prophets to cities of those sections. Turn to me! They won't turn. He sends prophets to sections of those cities. Turn to me! They won't turn. But God said, okay, if Israel won't come, if Ephraim won't come, if Judah won't come, if Edom won't come, if Samaria won't come, how about your family? And then the husband or leader of the family, husband and wife say, we don't want you, God. Get out of our house. I won't tell you. There's not a little bus kid in Chicago whose daddy has abused him and whose mother is a prostitute. There's not a single one but what God won't save you and use you. Oh, how He loves you and me. Those who are not privileged to have fathers on the deacon board here, mothers and fathers that sing in the choir, and those that you don't know where your dad is tonight and you get beat when you come home after church, let me tell you something. He loves you. And God said, if the whole nation turns against me, and every area turns against me, and every city turns against me, and every area of the city turns against me, every family turns against me, God said, every little old bus kid that'll come to me and give his heart to me, I'll forgive his sins and make him my child. Don't you think you've got to go to the devil because your mom's gone to the devil? Don't you think you've got to go to the devil because your dad's gone to the devil? Some of you high school, public school kids over here, don't you think that for a single moment? I mean, if your daddy is an alcoholic and your mama's a prostitute and your brothers and sisters are dope peddlers, and you live in a country that's as wicked as the devil, our God comes to you and says, I want to save you. I want to use you. I want you. What a wonderful God we have. So you're a bus kid. Nobody in your family cares anything. The only reason they let you come to Sunday school is to get rid of you for a few hours on Sunday. Free babysitters. God loves you. So you're a rich kid. Your mom and dad think they're too highfalutin for fundamentalism and for God and for the Bible. They're too educated. They went to Satan University and heard Dr. Messamup deny the Bible. And they're too good. They're too rich. They're too educated, as man calls education. I tell you something, son or daughter of the rich kid, our God loves you individually, and He'll save you. So your husband is lost. Dear woman, God comes to you and says, I want you to be saved. Now God basically here is talking to His own people. Sure, this applies to unsaved people, but God's talking to those that know Him. He's talking to His people. I want you right with me, He says. Oh, how he loved Israel. Thirty-six years ago, Mrs. Hiles and I were in the waiting room of a hospital in Dallas, Texas. The doctor came to the waiting room. He said to us, she said to us, Becky, our oldest child, who was two then, said, Becky has pneumonia. Back in the days when no antibiotics, pneumonia was as much 50-50 chance of living if you had pneumonia. The doctor came in and the specialist came in, and little Becky was in the hospital bed. And they said to us, you watch her little fingernails now. If her little fingernails begin to turn color, you call us quickly. One of us sat there beside that bed day and night for days, did nothing but watch fingernails. Oh, how I wanted to crawl in that bed and take her place. How I wanted that pneumonia to come to me and her to get out of bed and be well, that little two-year-old tyke in an oxygen tent there. And she had it so bad she'd breathe like this. Looked like every breath she wouldn't be able to breathe out. Tonight, I'd like to go to Plano, Texas, 36 years later. And I'd like to take that lupus disease that she has and put it inside my body. I'd like for her fingers that hurt so bad, she's having a hard time. She said Monday to me, Dad, I just don't know if I can play the piano in church. She's a church pianist. I don't know how long I can play the piano in church. She said, you think I ought to quit? I said, you stay till your fingers are stone at that piano bench. I'd like to go down tonight. I'd like to take that disease that's in her body. I'd like to put it in mine. She's our daughter, and we love her. You add all the love that we have for our children and our grandchildren, and you add to that all the love that every grandparent here has for his grandchild, and every mom and dad has for your child. And you add that to that all the love that every bride has for a groom and every groom has for a bride. And you add to that all the love that every husband has for a wife and every wife in the world has for a husband. And you add to that all the love that every friend has for a friend and the friend has for the other friend. All the loves of all the people in the whole world put together. And you won't even begin to comprehend or understand or compare it to the love that God has for you and for me. God says, I want you. I want you. I want the whole nation to come to get right with me. Because I want you. If that won't work, I want your area to get right because I want you. If that won't work, I want your city to get right because I want you. If that won't work, I want your area to get right in the city because I want you. If that won't work, I want your family to get right. He said, if they won't, I want you. Oh, how he loves you and me. But he's not talking here mainly about salvation. He's talking about you being dedicated to him. He's talking about his people serving him, reading his book, living the right kind of lives, walking with him in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. He wants you to fellowship with himself. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He came to a little ghetto in southwest Dallas to a little boy whose dad was a drunkard and said, if your dad won't come to me, you come on. He loves you tonight. He wants you for himself. And he's gone to every possible avenue to claim you for his own. Let him have yourself tonight. If he doesn't have all of you, let him have all of you. That's what he wants. If you're not his child, trust him tonight. He comes to you tonight and knocks on your door. You know, a little lady came to me, one of our bus kids, a little teenage girl the other day. And she said, Brother Hiles, could I really go to heaven? And I said, why? She said, because my father rapes me. The sin of incest to me is one of the most... If I were God, that'd be the unpardonable sin. She said, I'm afraid to go home. But I've got to go home. I said, have you told your mother? Mother won't believe me. And I said, young lady, I want to tell you something. God loves you. And so do we. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They're weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. He loves you tonight. And all the reason He wants America, He wants you. Reason He wants your area, He wants you. Reason He wants your city, He wants you. Reason He wants your family, He wants you. But brother, if none of them come to God, you have no excuse. He'll forgive your sins, make you His child, write your name in heaven, because He loves you. You say, preacher, I know He loves the world. He loves you. He loves you. Oh, I know He loves everybody. He loves you. I mean, in fact, He loves everybody. Doesn't do anything for me. I want to know if He loves me. See? Yeah, He loves the whole world. Well, let the whole world fool on the world. Does He love me? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I sing that little song so often. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Let Him have your life tonight. If you're not saved, trust Him as your Savior. Shall we stand, please?